On the Pilot TV podcast this week, we're sniffing out Skrulls alongside Nick Fury in Secret Invasion on Disney+, embracing middle age with Bridget Christie in Channel 4's The Change, and pulling on our big boy pants with a giant teenager in Boots Riley's I'm a Virgo on Prime Video. But that's not all, because we've got two guests with us this week. Annie Murphy is with us to talk about the latest episode of Black Mirror, and Patrick Gibson is here talking to Boyd all about Shadow and Bone, or something. I'm James Dyer, and welcome to the Pilot TV podcast, your essential guide to every show that matters, and a podcast that is recording alarmingly early this week so that Kay can fuck off on holiday. Kay, would you care to explain this egregious dereliction of duty to our listeners?
Wow. What an intro. All I would say is I am going to Marbella on a hen do, which, if I'm being really honest, and I know no one going, and it is a small party, listens to the podcast.
You don't know that for a fact.
No, I do know for
We're
a fact.
We're a phenomenon, Kay. No, a worldwide phenomenon.
Would you make them fill in a form or something?
What? So they're not allowed to listen to the podcast?
Have you not ever listened to the Pilot TV podcast?
With all my friends, I've got that in place. Yeah. They're not going to listen to this. I am secretly dreading this. And I'm going to Marbella. And so it was with a heavy heart I had to say, can we pull it forward? I did actually say, if you're being honest, hi guys, I'm more than happy not to do it this week. You know, someone else can do it, blah, blah. And then you said, let's do it day early.
We said you were irreplaceable.
You didn't quite use that word.
Something like that. With the words to that effect is probably what we said.
Yeah, a version of that maybe.
Yeah.
So, that's why we're doing it early. I can only apologise. And also, I am getting out there now. I haven't watched one of the shows. But let's move on.
We'll get on to that. Because Boyd is with us too, a man who knows where his priorities lie. Because he routinely takes his pod gear with him on holiday, no matter which famous he's actually staying with. Don't you, Boydie?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I just like to say, I've never missed an episode.
He's never missed a pod. No one else on this podcast
can say that. Not only that, I also watch every show. I don't just back out randomly of watching shows.
To be fair, you would watch them regardless of whether you were doing this podcast. So, like, you watch them independently.
No, not necessarily.
I don't think you do.
Would I watch The Ark? I don't know. 100%,
because I believe you have said to me before that you try to watch at least the first episode of every new scripted show.
All right, okay.
You still deserve props, boy.
Thank you.
Yes, he does. Yeah. He does the pod on his holidays. He watches everything
gets props
so that we don't have to. Let's give him credit for that.
Thanks. Many thanks.
That is true. Boyd, have you watched season 2 of Star Trek Strange New Worlds then?
I haven't watched that yet, no.
See what I'm saying?
No.
This is why I'm going to Marbella.
I'm saving that up. It's a treat.
I'm going abroad so I don't have to listen to James talk about Star Trek.
Do you want to take it with you? I can provide screeners for you so you can take them. You can watch them on the plane.
Good.
Be great.
No, actually, do you know what? Yeah, no.
Just no.
Just no.
Do you know
just
what?
No.
Do you know what? Just no.
Yeah.
But you are going to be watching.
Just say no, like
you
Zamo.
You are going to be watching. Very good. You are going to be watching an episode of The Orville for the next Pilot Plus.
I forgot about that.
So now you've got to take that with you on holiday.
Have you arranged
Disney
screeners?
Plus. I don't need to. It's on Disney Plus. It's fine. We're watching season 1, episode 3.
James. What am I going to do?
Well, you'll figure out. Your life will find a way, Kay, and so will you. We're going to watch season 1, episode 3 of The Orville, partly to torture Kay, partly to torture me, but mainly because one of our listeners demanded it.
Oh, yes. No, so, I'm doing it for the listener. Yeah, fine.
Yes. So we are going to tackle that on next week's Pilot Plus. But look, I actually need to start with a bit of Pilot Plus stuff. I apologise for this. A little bit of housekeeping. Now, you will remember last week that despite interruptions, Kay, I extolled the many virtues of signing up to Pilot Plus, including the extra show, the spoiler specials, getting the podcast early, getting it free of ads, all that good stuff. However, I am forced now to make a formal apology for misstating the price of a saurine malt loaf, which it turns out you can happily pick up for £1.75 from Sainsbury's, £1.50 from Ocado. Who knew Ocado were cheaper than Sainsbury's? But for a solitary pound from Tesco, as long as you got a club card. That's absolutely true.
Oh, wow. Gosh, yeah. We're more expensive than the Tesco. Is it saurine? How are you saying it?
It's a saurine malt loaf.
Serene.
It's not very serene. It's quite a stressful eat.
It is if you're eating it with a cup of tea.
It's very claggy.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's his favourite. This is his favourite word to describe anything. So whenever we're in the office, and suppose I've bought some biscuits and I say, oh, would you like some, what is it that you really, shortbread, isn't it? And you're like, oh no, too claggy for me.
Claggy.
Well, you've picked the
diva.
Two things that are really claggy. Serene and shortbread.
You throw claggy around willy-nilly.
Could I just say, speaking of things that are not claggy, we've been promised some cakes. We've been promised some brownies, some blondies. Basically, one of our listeners, who's a big fan, was so frankly offended, I think, by Boyd's utter lack of willingness to make us his famous blondies.
His boydies, yeah.
That they have decided they will provide blondies.
Oh, wow.
Obviously, it helps that this is what they do for a living. So this is someone from... actually, to be fair, they did say to me, we're going to send you the brand. You don't feel you need to give us a plug at any point. But I'm going to say...
Hey, plug the shit
yes,
out of this.
Craybakes. Craybakes.co.uk. I believe they're based in Yorkshire, but they make brownies and blondies and other assorted goody things. No clag there, boydie. And they're going to send us a care package, right, which is just fantastic. For me in UK and not for Boyd.
Oh, my gosh. So
that's
thank
not true.
You so much.
No, you can have some too. It's fine. It's fine. Thanks. It's for all of us.
Yeah.
We'll do a taste test.
We will do.
Do you know what? Yeah. I can already predict delicious.
Well, we'll see. Boyd may
anything that
find
is
them.
Baked with love and free for the podcast is delicious.
Yeah. But, I mean, obviously yours we're going to leave in the post room for a couple of weeks so and get properly stale so you'll really enjoy it the way you like to. So,
hello, Captain Snark.
Yes.
Isn't he?
Anyway, back to the story. That's true. There was a lot of talk of... well, anyway. We need to get back to the Sorry Malt Loaf, it has to be said, because the Sorry Malt Loaf incident, as it should now be called, is now moot. It's now moot. Because you will remember back in January when Pilot Plus first launched, we said the $1.99 price was a kind of 6-month introductory offer. Well, it's expiring. It's expiring. And as of the 3rd of July, Pilot Plus will be £2.99 a month, which brings it in line with the Empire Supporter Special Feed. So, for less than the price of 2 Saurine Malt Loaves from Sainsbury's or Ocado, and 3 Saurine Malt Loaves if you're a Tesco Club card holder, you can get access to the second show, the Spoiler Specials, the main pod, all free of ads. There you go. That's the new price promise.
You look nervous to have announced that. You've got a bit of a sheen of sweat there.
A bit nervy. I don't like putting up the price.
No one does. No. But listen.
But Boyd's TV insider industry friends did say they thought the podcast was ludicrously low in terms of pricing.
True.
Are you sure they said, like, did they just say it's ludicrous?
No.
They might have said, yeah. Ludicrously cheap. And also, the powers that be at our publishing company would not let me keep it at a price that is that any longer. So this was kind of out of my hands. But I do have a special thing. So I did say to everyone that the price would go up a few months ago. And I did also say I would give them a warning. So this is your warning. And I will say, if you sign up for a full year before the 3rd of July, you can lock in the lower price for 12 months and save a load of money, which you can obviously spend on a whole crate of malt loaves or, frankly, the cake-based snack of your choice. We're not sponsored by Saurine, which is a metaphor, okay?
We should be sponsored by them.
Yeah, sorry, if you're listening, Saurine, you want to sponsor us, go nuts.
What is the lower price so that it would be locked in?
Well, they get it for the... So
do the math,
if you get,
please.
I can't do the math
in
my head.
Come on, Carol Vorderman.
So it's $1.99 a month, but you also get a month free if you do it annually as well.
That's cool.
So it works out, I guess, like £1, like...
No, you just said $1.99 a month.
Yeah.
Didn't you mean $2.99 a month?
No, it's $2.99 a month at the higher new price.
Yeah.
But if you lock it in at the low price, you get it for the equivalent of $1.99 a month plus a month free when you buy it for a year. You look very confused.
I mean, is that
confusing?
My brain was a bit scrambled there, but I would just say, listen.
Because the price doesn't go up. The price doesn't go up until the 3rd of July. So,
James, don't repeat.
If you want this kind of quality maths-based chat, you can sign up for a full year of it.
I mean, I think even...
Who wouldn't want that?
Yeah. Everyone.
Everyone wouldn't want that. Okay, good. I'm glad we cleared that up. I should also mention, while we're doing the housekeeping, don't forget to book your tickets to see us live at King's Place in London on Saturday, 19th of August. You can pick them up at kingsplace.co.uk/pilot250. Kay has promised to bake a Sorry Malt Loaf for every single person who attends.
Do you know what? You put that on Twitter. There was a lot of traction to me, like, baking. I thought, I've never really baked anything in my life. Actually, I've baked one thing and it was meant to be a birthday cake and it came out very flat.
Did it? Bit claggy, was it?
Not even claggy. It didn't have even the potential to be claggy because it was so flat. It was like...
You've never baked anything in your life.
Boyd, I don't know why you're getting all crumpled.
Yeah, you've never baked
this.
Anything for us,
yeah.
Boydie.
Yeah, but I've baked loads of things.
You're making out like you're some kind of Boyd Berry, like Mary Berry style with
talking,
your apron on.
But wait a minute. You're not just talking like cakes. You're talking about you've never baked anything.
I've baked food. I mean, like what? Like a lasagna?
We've all put our oven pre-prepared lasagna and slung it in the oven.
Is that what you meant? That I've never used the oven?
No, I didn't mean that. I meant more like you haven't... cooked, you haven't created from a recipe and baked anything in the oven.
What? But no, cakes. I think you're mainly crazy town.
Do you know
I've
what we
cooked.
Should do?
I've obviously baked, like, I've cooked food, savory right. food, but right. I haven't baked
I've got cake. An idea.
Oh,
I've got an idea.
He's
do you know what we
idea.
Should do? You know
oh,
what
gosh,
we should do?
He's using his hands a lot.
I'm gesticulating. We should do some kind of Pilot Plus bake-off where each one of us bakes a thing that we then bring and
can
we
have get
to eat.
Help?
Can we get help
can,
with
like,
it?
Can my nieces help?
No, because otherwise Boyd will get Mary Berry to make it for him, and that's really unacceptable. You're no ringers, thank you very much.
Kay knows Mary Berry better than I do. case.
Me and Mazbez like, go way back.
I bet you do. Yeah.
Can we get assistance?
Again, can you get an assistant or can you get someone to help you with it?
Assistance.
No, you have to do it on your own.
All right, fine. I'm up for it.
I'm only saying this because I have a Game of Thrones Targaryen cake mold and I'm quite keen to use it with a dragon on top. But no, I'm saying we should do this. We should definitely do this. We should have some kind of bake-off.
If we're going to do it, we should time it with the Great British Bake Off. I like to have a bit of synergy
there. When's that start?
September, I think.
Oh, that's ages away.
Yeah.
Paul Boydie, do you reckon you could get...
Is it?
Do you reckon you could get Paul Hollywood to come and judge it?
Oh my gosh, I don't think that's a good idea.
Is it not?
No.
I want a Hollywood handshake.
I mean,
suddenly you're all like a massive fan of Bake Off. That's really weird.
That might be a stretch, but yes.
Ever since he watched Naked Attraction, he's changed.
Oh my God. Speaking of Naked Attraction, we talked about this on Pilot Plus and bemoaned its passing because it had been cancelled. But, you know,
it's not confirmed, though, is it?
It's been resurrected like a phoenix from the ashes. Naked Attraction has been uncancelled, and they've announced that, in fact, it will be with us for more naked fun in the future.
Okay, can I ask something?
Yes.
Is it because I don't think it was ever confirmed that it was cancelled? Is it just that you proclaimed it was cancelled, then you read it?
I think you're fine. It was cancelled. And when they heard how distraught I was that it was going, they brought it back.
All right.
Channel 4 just denied that it was axed ever. And I didn't really understand. I have to say, when it was announced, we've veered into news now, haven't we? The whole.
I don't know what's happening.
The podcast is just a shambles. Bake Off.
That's my favourite kind of podcast.
Anyway, I never understood why, of all shows to cancel, Channel 4 cancelled Naked Attraction. It can't be. It must be one of the cheapest
Low
shows
cost.
Out there.
I mean, I feel like maybe the storyline had run its course.
It's a format.
It's an experiment. It's
a storyline.
You're saying it's more of an adventure of the week. It's a procedural. It's a procedural knob show.
Definitely a procedural. So how do you go about proceeding to hug each other when you're totally naked?
I mean, that is the question.
It's the format that will never die. It's cheap. It's completely like it just relies on new people agreeing to do it, which I never understood how they managed to get that number of people agreeing to go naked fully on
TV. Yeah, that is astonishing.
But it never made sense that they were going to cancel that show. So they haven't cancelled it and it was nonsense, apparently.
Okay, so fake news from James being cleared up.
That's the next question. We were in the middle of...
I don't know.
Before that...
Should we talk about what we've been watching? That would be the traditional thing to do.
Oh, no, wait a minute. Sorry, I remember what we were doing.
What were we doing?
You were saying about people should book tickets.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
But they've already done that. Show. So while you two
have
were...
Have we got anyone who's booked a ticket? Is it just going to be you, me and boys sitting on the stage?
Maybe the Bake Off should be for the live show. Maybe we bring out Boydo.
Oh, this is a good idea.
This is why Boyd's on here.
All right. I will concede to this. So the live show is on a Saturday night. We are going to bake each of us on Saturday morning. And we can use the audience.
You can't dictate the deadline.
No, but I'm just saying, I know you have a thing for like stale baked goods, but most people like them fresh. So if we make them on Saturday morning
take it however I give it to you, James, frankly.
We can have the audience judge the cake.
Yes, it's an insert.
No, but how can they judge it?
Because we'll give them some.
No, but then we're health and safety and like not allergies and shit like that.
We'll have
like,
to nominate one person to judge the cake, or one or two, or a couple of people.
I think we're running.
We can't just hand them out to people in the audience. Is this the case?
Not to everyone in the audience. Maybe.
Well, there won't be enough.
I like the way we were producing this segment now.
Hey, I've got an idea.
Yes.
Now, is the nice person who's sending us a cake, the professional, is she coming? Because then she should be the judge, because she's a professional.
Well, that's too scary.
I don't know.
Why?
Possibly.
Okay.
Craybanks, if you're here and you're coming to the live show, let me know.
Oh my gosh,
because you may
yes.
just have been enlisted as a judge for our baked goods.
Because they deserve the appreciation anyway of the audience for sending us these gifts in advance, and then they can be the judge.
Okay.
I like the fact that it showed just how much James is a dictator of this podcast, that he wants to dictate the exact time we get to bake the cake on Saturday morning.
I was more planning my Saturday live. Right. I was working out, so if I get out in the morning, bake whatever it is I'm going to bake, get it ready, and then I'll have to bring it in to the live show. We can stash it in the fridge in the green room.
He's saying all this stuff. Is it actually an insight into his tyranny?
If Arsenal are playing that day, by the way, all bets are off. But anyway,
you still have to make.
You can bake
it.
You can bake an Arsenal cake. It's fine.
You can still get your pinny on and have one eye on the screen. Oh, you mean you'd go in person?
Whatever, it depends. Don't worry, it will be fine. Well, I should have brought up now.
I think we can all agree that whatever league Arsenal are in, they won't get that far. Anyway, what have you been watching?
I mean, that's such a lame attempt.
Don't really understand what I said.
That was amazing.
Yeah.
He's in one of those moods.
It really is.
It's very early. And also, and I can't emphasize this enough, it's Wednesday. The podcast doesn't go out until Monday. We're almost a week in advance of this podcast going out.
What's it matter?
Because it's thrown me off.
I mean, the news
he's
is going to feel...
He's very rigid with his schedule.
I mean, news is going to feel very dated.
We might need to rename news to something else.
All right, something we've read on the interwebs.
Something we read on the interweb about a week ago. Yes, that's what we'll call it. Yeah. Anyway, okay, anyway, Boydie, what have you been watching this week as we get into the 15th minute of the podcast?
Yeah. Annoyingly, it's one of those where I've been watching something that isn't out yet and that we're going to be redoing the following week.
Okay, really enjoys that. So.
I know.
As long as you can say the name, otherwise...
Oh, I completely say the name. As do the list. Actually, if I couldn't say the name or didn't say the name, then it would be even more annoying for the listener.
Yeah, of course.
Hijack is...
Oh, you've been watching Hijack.
Oh, you say, yeah, I want to know.
So, no spoilers, because you don't have to spoil what we think of
Idris.
A show. But all I would say is that I watched the first episode and basically motored through the next 7 hours.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Which actually...
That's terrible.
Again, well, this is going to upset people even more, the level of entitlement, because no one else will be able to do that.
No. But no one else would do it. We review stuff before it comes out anyway. So this isn't. Yeah.
I'm just saying.
We will review it in full next week. Just having a go, trying to rile up the.
That's it. That's it. Go on, come for Boyd.
So transparent. it is the show starring Idris Elba. It's created by George Kay and Jim Field Smith, who worked on Criminal together on Netflix. That was the one where the different interrogation scenes.
Yes, indeed.
And indeed, Roshendra Sandow, who was in one of those episodes, is in this as a passenger on the flight. They also George Kay also worked on a lot of brilliant things. Litvinenko, they worked on together. Lupin, my favourite French. Anyway, they're both very talented and they have come up with this show in which, Hijack, in which it's supposed to be told in real time. Now, as in all real time things, we'll get to it, we'll review it for next week, I'm just saying, it's never quite exactly real time, but roughly, it depicts a seven-hour flight from Dubai to London and each episode is an hour of the flight and it gets hijacked in episode one. And as I've said before, I'm not going to talk about whether it's any good or not, something could be terrible and addictive, Connor, as well as being good and addictive.
Is there like an entire episode where he just sits waiting for the meal, watching episodes of Colin from Accounts back to back?
That would be my dream.
That would be realistic.
Yeah, that would be realistic.
Like 24.
It's like 24, but yeah, it's a seven-hour limited.
But just a different number.
It's just called seven.
The concept of real time, yeah. But it isn't just on the plane, by the way. It does cut to like the people on the ground in air traffic control. Shall we say it's an incident that becomes like a massive event. So the media coverage.
I'm so excited.
Politics, all the different episodes. So it's cutting between the plane. There's a lot to do with, basically. But the cast is Idris Elba is like just a guy.
You're just reviewing it now, aren't you?
I'm just reviewing it. No. I haven't said if it's good or not. Have I? I still haven't.
Which channel is it on?
The cast.
It's Apple. It's on Apple.
It's Apple TV Plus.
Apple Sniper definitely going to take him out.
That's right.
They won't. Archie Panjabi, Max Beasley, Eve Miles.
Oh, brilliant.
Yes. Neil Maskell. You know Neil Maskell from Utopia stuff.
I do.
Always plays terrifying people. He is playing one of the hijackers. No spoilers. It's like Ben Miles, Holly Aird. It's got an all-star cast. All I'm saying is, I'm not saying whether it's any good or not, but I love, as I'll be emphasising when we review it, I am a huge fan of aeroplane set things anyway. Mm-hmm. Like going back to, I remember going to see Airport 1975 when it came out in cinemas when I was like about eight or something.
1975.
Like, oh, amazing. 1975. And so like Airplane, you know, all the airport movies, all the recent ones, Red Eye. What's the one with Jodie Foster? What was that one?
Flight Plan.
Thank you, Flight Plan. Love Flight Plan. Flight Plan.
Passenger 57.
Passenger 57.
Air Force
Snakes
One.
On a plane.
That's just list films.
So this... Yeah, I just love the genre of plane-based things, and I will not be saying whether it's good or not. We'll leave that to the review.
I'm
but
so
I have watched the
happy
whole
I'm not
thing.
Watching this before I go to Marbs.
Yes. Although, it's not like a plane crash over thing. It's just hijacking.
Yeah.
I
mean, also, if it takes you 7 hours to get to Marbella, then you've taken the wrong airline.
True.
Slow
true.
Jet.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So I haven't had time. I got so into that. And because of the earlier record, I have not watched anything. I'm not blaming you.
No, you're right. You can point the finger at Kay. It's fine.
No, I don't mind. I'm not even... I didn't even assume you were blaming me.
No, good.
But it's more that, you know, this...
I just wouldn't have to have time to watch anything else particularly. So, I've devoted myself to watching.
You are in no position to cock a snook at a Boyd for not having time to watch something.
No snook cocking allowed. There you go. Yeah, so it's all about Hijack. And we will be reviewing it in full.
We will.
On Apple TV next week on this thing, and it comes to Apple TV Plus on the following Wednesday week. Yeah. Even though it's not comedy. So the other news is for me, I think it's the first big Apple release, dramatic Apple release on a Wednesday rather than, because they put all the comedies on a Wednesday now rather than a Friday. Fascinating. Kate's looking at me like, why are you even mentioning this, you boring shithead? But it's true. I just noted it.
I have not watched any Hijacks. I still haven't watched any Foundations.
I mean, that is the extraordinary thing.
Yeah,
the Foundation is there, listeners.
I know.
All 10 fucking hours of it.
And someone, Amon, in fact, texted me, they go, I just watched season one and season two of Foundation in its entirety. And I was like, oh, for fuck's sake.
Yes. Why, out of interest?
I've had so much stuff to watch recently. But I've not necessarily wanted to watch, but I've had to watch for work. I've had to review a bunch of stuff. Yeah. And I just, there's been a lot to get through. Mm. I have now, as of this week, cleared the decks, though.
Oh.
But I had like
all
bunch
the
of
Naked Attractions watched.
All the Naked Attraction is finished. I've completed all 19 seasons of Naked Attraction. It's fine. But I was sent Jack Ryan suddenly. That kind of caught me by surprise, which we've got a review for next week. So
no, we bloody don't.
I'm pretty sure Jack Ryan's next week.
Yeah, but season four? No way, mate.
Oh, well. Oh,
suddenly, this is the other thing.
We shall see.
Can you get used to this, by the way? Our priority is always brand new shows. We don't go back and review series two, three, four shows. Unless it's a show that James really likes for some godforsaken reason, and it's a spy drama on Amazon Prime.
If it's a Prime spy drama or a Viking show, then that is an exception to the rule.
It's exhausting.
That's perfectly legitimate.
He is exhausting.
Yeah. Okay, carry on.
Okay, what have you been watching?
So, I've continued watching Arnold. Yes. Episode two I'm now on. And I just find it endlessly fascinating because I don't know anything about him. And so stuff that I probably found very interesting, you guys will already know. But like, I didn't realise the major beef between him and Sylvester Stallone. So I found that really, really interesting to watch all that.
Yes. Well, if you read Nick DeSemlin's book, it is largely about that. Mm. The Last Action Heroes, which is on sale now in the US. And we're coming to the UK very soon. You can import it. It's great.
Yeah. And also the episode from the Netflix documentary. So maybe buy Nick's book, watch the episode, and then read all about it.
Yeah, do that.
So I watched episode two of that. And then I watched something that we were going to review on this podcast, and then you put your foot down.
This is Count Abdullah, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. And do you know what? I'm really, really disappointed we didn't get to do it properly on here.
I should clarify. I did not put my foot down. In fact, I seem to recall I said, oh, well, that would be a good thing to do. However, I'm fucked if we're not reviewing the arc, I believe was my exact position.
Yeah. So anyway, we didn't do it on the pod. But yeah, it's really good. And basically, it's about Abdullah Khan, played by Arian Nick from The Bay. And he's a mid-20s British Muslim doctor who is bitten by a vampire, played by Jamie Winston. And it's just really, it's funny, it's fresh. It reminded me a little bit of...
Reginald the Vampire?
No, fuck no. We Are Lady Parts. You know, in that kind of subversive, like, it's kind of subverting stereotypes, and it's funny, and it just feels innovative. So I would say everyone should watch that. It's on ITVX. I've only watched one episode, but I already just want to watch all of them. And I think it's a real shame that Dyer.
Given that we all had to watch the arc, which was awful. Yeah. You're right. It was.
At your behest.
It was an error. It in judgment.
These things happen.
Yes.
At least he admitted it.
I saw quite a lot of it at the ITVX launch, where they launched all these comedies in one go.
What did you think?
I thought it would be good, yeah. Because Jamie Winston's in it as well. She's always brilliant. I love Jamie Winston. So, yeah, I thought it did look good. I will watch it. Yeah. Need to catch up.
So that's what I've been watching.
Yeah. And put it this way, it deserves much more attention than the bloody arc.
Yeah, well, I mean, God. I'm with you. I'm 100% with you on this.
James.
Hi.
What have you been watching?
Nothing. I have been watching nothing of note. Obviously, I mentioned Jack Ryan, which is obviously embargoed, so I can't talk about it. I have not been able to watch...
Wait a minute. So you have been watching Jack Ryan then?
But I can't talk about it.
Straight into that.
But I can't talk about it.
But you can talk about it. I can say I've watched
some Jack Ryan.
I've just done a whole spiel about this thing.
Yes, I have not watched much to my eternal shame and pain Foundation.
Right. What James has not watched.
This is what I've not watched.
Just, by the way.
And I just had to watch a bunch of, what are they called? The short things. Films. Those are the ones. For Empire. I had to watch a bunch of those short things. I watched Extraction 2 on Monday.
I've got that on mine.
The embargo for which I think has lifted. Oh, it will be by the time we go out in like 6 months' time.
Yeah.
So, so I watched that, which is wild. It's essentially, I'm going to put in a film review here. It is three extraordinary action sequences glued together by something resembling a quote-unquote plot. So it's not what I would call narratively heavy, but the action in it is incredible at points. Mm. Like, genuinely amazing. Okay. Like, the kind of stuff like John Wick does that makes you, like, jaw on the floor, like, oh my God, I can't believe they did that. So the action's very, very good. Okay. Story, less so.
Chris Hemsworth.
Chris Hemsworth, yes, is back. Okay. Indeed. In fact, Beatrice is in that as well. What else did I watch? I watched Bird Box Barcelona. Not the sequel to Bird Box, but the Spanish language spin-off launch of a regional franchise.
What?
Wow. So the idea is we're going to have like Bird Box Margate, you know, Bird Box Lanzarote, that kind of thing. And that's then this is the first of those. But it's in Margate, so I can't talk about it.
I said Bird Box Marbs.
Bird Box Marbs, yes. K may well be in that if it happens. Don't look at that.
You can't talk about it, but you're reviewing it on the Empire podcast.
No, I'm reviewing it in the Empire magazine.
Oh, in the Empire magazine. Yes. I was going to say that doesn't open for a while. Yeah.
A drop-in? This early in the podcast? What could it possibly mean? Well, you'll be unsurprised to hear that this is, in fact, a public service announcement about The Witcher. Now, Boyd and Kay are clearly cock-a-hoop that The Witcher is returning to our screens next week, and you should be too, because The Witcher is having its London premiere on the 28th of June, and you could be there. Now, Gallants, the book publisher behind Andrzej Sapkowski's excellent Witcher books, have given us two tickets to the launch event on the 28th of June, so you and a friend could come down and see The Witcher a full day before anyone else does. It's a viewing of episode one. It will be attended by the cast and creators. It is very exciting. But you'll also get early access to the Witcher Maze, which is a kind of pop-up event in London, including lots of in-world surprises, which I'm rather looking forward to seeing. But that's not all either, because Gallants also are putting up a complete set of Sapkowski's books, so you can read all about The Witcher's adventures as well. Now, I know what you're saying. James, I don't live in London. How would I possibly get there? Well, funny you should say that, because travel to and from London is included in the prize, up to the value of £150. Please do not get a private jet. And overnight accommodation in London is included as well. All courtesy of Gallants, who you can follow on Twitter at Gallants, and of course Netflix. And you should follow their account at Witcher Netflix. Now, this competition is open for this week only. We will be picking a winner on Friday, the 23rd of June. To win this exciting prize, to come down and see The Witcher in the flesh, to enter, all you have to do is go on Twitter, follow us at Pilot TV Pod, and I would like you to suggest an episode of The Witcher for Kay to watch using the hashtag WitcherXPilot. So an episode of The Witcher, just the episode number or title is fine, just an episode that you think Kay should watch, your reason why, using the hashtag WitcherXPilot. Hope to see you at the premiere. Now, back to our regularly scheduled programming. Let's go into this week's guest. Should we do that? Should we go to this week's guest?
Yes.
Let's do that. You will recall, if you listen to Pilot TV Plus, that we reviewed the new season of Black Mirror on there, specifically the first episode called Joan is Awful, which is not awful. In fact, it is brilliant, and it is also slightly terrifying. But this one stars Annie Murphy as Joan, a person who comes home only to discover that, let's be honest, Netflix, although in here it's called Streamberry, has created a show of her life. Now, Boydie sat down with Annie. You'll, of course, know her from the likes of Schitt's Creek. And he decided to talk to her all about Joan is Awful.
Well, I sat down with her on Zoom.
You sat down with her on Zoom. So you may not have been sitting down. You could have been standing.
Exactly.
It doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
You were just. So Boyd, in some form of repose, spoke to Annie Murphy about Joan is Awful. This is how it went.
Hi, Annie. I'm Boyd Hilton from the Pilot TV podcast.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, Annie. Thanks for joining us. I hosted an event on Monday with Charlie Brooker in London to talk about this new series of Black Mirror. And we agreed that this episode is the most meta, not only the most meta episode of the series so far, Black Mirror, but possibly of anything ever made. How did you feel about the script when you first read it?
It broke my brain a little bit, to be completely honest. I got the script and I didn't, when I said yes, 1,000 times yes, and signed my NDA to get the script, I had no idea what to expect. I had no idea what my role was, how big it was. And so I got through the script and my jaw just kind of like kept dropping. And then I got to the last page and I was like, no, we need to start this from the beginning again. Cause it's a lot to digest.
Right. It is a lot. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Did you speak to Charlie about the whole thing? Did you get to kind of chat with him about, the madness of the whole story?
Yeah, which I loved about, I don't know if this is a specifically UK thing, but we were able to have a few days of rehearsing and chatting things out. And so Salma and Kayla, who plays Source Joan, and I all got to kind of sit with Charlie and talk things through. And he was so sweet and just had his laptop open and was like taking notes. And he was so open to thoughts that we had and collaborating. And so, yeah, we got to kind of like, because we really did need to talk it out. We needed yeah. to really like say things aloud to get it straight in our heads.
And I mean, because really you're playing multiple characters, aren't you, in a way? You're playing a character and you're playing yourself and you're playing, you know, it gets. How did you kind of manage that up that process, or did you just kind of go into it and you just went for it?
Well, I started off by, I think, overthinking it because I play myself. I wanted to kind of lean into my own mannerisms, and then I started like looking at myself a little bit too closely and getting really annoyed by how I sound and how I move my hands and that kind of thing. And so I just kind of had to like let it go after a while. And I mean, the script is so good that I just kind of like followed along after overthinking it and driving myself nuts, and it worked out.
And it was, I mean, it must have been great fun working with Selma, because she's essentially playing you in some ways, and ends up in the second half, you're kind of on a caper with her, aren't you, really? Kind of the two of you are kind of going on this incredibly kind of thrilling, funny adventure.
Yeah, it was so much fun working with Selma, and she's so up for anything. She's so up for goofing around. She's so smart and she's so observant and so nice, which was really nice to find out.
Yeah.
And we had so much fun working together. And we genuinely, when we wrapped, we went up to Charlie and we were like, so we know Black Mirror is your thing, but if you are ever interested in writing a buddy comedy for us, we would love to do that. So,
wow.
He didn't seem interested, but we're still working on it.
That's the British kind of, you know, understatement. He was playing it cool.
Oh, was he? Okay. Well, yeah. That's good to know. Thank you.
I think so. Yeah. What did you make of the whole, one of the most extraordinary things about it, which I'd asked him about as well, was the fact that it, to some extent, it makes fun of the idea of a streaming service, of Netflix itself. You know, and the Netflix had no problem with that. They're absolutely fine with it. They had given the freedom to do whatever he wanted. They let him use the graphics and everything. That's pretty amazing, isn't it?
I was actually like so genuinely happily surprised by them just kind of giving the logo and the sound effect and everything. It's very obvious who we're talking about. And so I was very impressed that they gave the green light for that.
And in this country, Schitt's Creek is a Netflix phenomenon. Like, well, that's how we got to see it in the UK.
Right.
Netflix. So you're a Netflix star, as far as we're concerned.
Oh, gosh. Oh, shucks.
Okay. You said, you know, you immediately wanted to do it when you got sent the script. But were you aware of Black Mirror and of Charlie Brooker in general before this all happened?
Oh, big time. Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. I've been a longtime fan of the show. And you know, it's haunted my dreams for many, many years, as I think it has done for many other people. And so I was really happy to find out that my episode was one of the more lighthearted ones, because I'm a big giant baby when it comes to, you know, existential dread. And
so Black Mirror is really the show for you.
Yeah, exactly. So I was like, whoo, dodged a bullet on that one with yeah. a little bit of a wild romp and more comedy involved.
Yeah, it is one of the most comedic ones, I think, so far, isn't it, in many ways? Yeah.
Yeah, I was lucky.
Do you know about the others in this series? Because they are much more horrific, I have to say. Have you heard about them? Have you got to see them?
I've not been able to see them yet. They're kind of under lock and key, I guess. But I have heard that Locke Henry is deeply disturbing. Yeah. I was actually warned by Jess Rhodes, who was one of the EPs on the show, and she was like, maybe don't watch it, because it's a lot. I'm going to, but yeah, it's, I know that I'm in for like, it's not a lighthearted romp for the rest of the season.
I mean, Beyond the Sea, even more so, I'd say, which was the one we screened on Monday. I met Jessica there. Yeah. Beyond the Sea is very intense as well.
That's the one partner. with Josh Hartnett. Yeah, okay.
Yes. Yes.
Aaron Paul, okay.
Yes. Yes. And it's interesting that this is so meta, because I mean, Kevin Can F Himself, which was that amazing series you did, is also that was a series whose concept was extremely meta and kind of interesting. Is that something that is just pure coincidence, or is it kind of drawn to things that are clever and different and challenging?
Let's say it's not a coincidence. Let's say that. Yeah. I mean, especially after Schitt's Creek, I had the best time on that show playing Alexis. And but I really needed, after six seasons, to kind of prove to myself that I could do you know, more than like this. And so these are two amazing things that came up that really kind of pushed me in the more dramatic path. And with Black Mirror, it was just such an amazing opportunity to work with someone that I've admired for such a long time. And now he's a bud, which is so strange to say.
That's pretty good, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
And he said he thought of you just because he watched Schitt's Creek like the rest of us and just thought you were brilliant and wanted to get you on board. Is that how you heard it as well?
I mean, he's never said that directly to my face, but I'm glad. It blows my mind to hear that he thought that.
You said how much fun you have making Schitt's Creek. I mean, it's become, I overuse the word iconic, but it absolutely is. Has it changed your life? Has that doing that show changed your life?
It was like a full 180. Before, yeah. I was less than inches away. Like I had decided I wasn't working. I had no money. And it was just, I was like, well, the universe has screamed loudly that this is not the career path that I'm supposed to take. And yeah, it was literally the next day that I got the audition for Schitt's, and it completely top to tail changed my life.
And what do you think? Why do you think it was so special? Can you put your finger on what it was about it that appealed, that had such appeal and made it so unique and different to, I think, anything there was nothing quite like it, I don't think, before.
Well, I mean, first of all, I think that it was led by two of the most remarkable actors I've ever worked with, Eugene and Catherine, who set such an amazing tone for the show and how to treat each other and treat the crew and to, you know, enjoy your day and have fun with your job that you're doing. But I think that the show itself, especially given the last few years that we've all gone through, kind of provided like a happy, safe comfort place for people to go, and nothing really goes wrong, and everyone's accepted. And I have now learned after talking to people that it's become just like a really comfortable place to kind of escape to.
And you think, and your relationship, your character's relationship with Dan Levy's character, and just your actual relationship with Dan Levy, I mean, that must have just been a joy to interact with him.
It was the whole time. Yeah. It was awesome. And we kind of just hit the ground running as siblings. Like the day we met, it was just like we knew exactly how to get, you know, under each other's skin. And he like really was a brother during shooting, for sure.
I bet. Thank you so much. We've run out of time, but thank you so much, Annie. And congratulations on a brilliant episode of Black Mirror.
Thank you so much.
That was Boydy and Annie Murphy. And I think we segue from that directly into this week's listener question, which I sent to you scant minutes before we did this podcast. And from the expression on Kay's face, she did not look at. But that's all good. That's all good. This one comes from Paul McGinley. And he says, well, he actually starts with a kind of Barry question, but it's slightly spoilery, so I'll skip over that. But he says, for the postbag, my wife and daughter are about to start watching Love Island for the next 6 months or something, which means I have an hour per night to watch what I want. So I'm finally going to dive into The West Wing. Good man. If the pod team suddenly found themselves with 4 days and 19.5 guilt-free hours spare, what show would they binge for the first time or rewatch?
Mine's quite easy, actually, because I have never, as you know, watch Game of Thrones. Oh. So I feel like I would use that time just to finally get it done.
That's interesting. So is that your biggest, like, the biggest hole, you would say, in the TV pantheon that you've missed?
No, I mean, there are quite a few holes, if I'm going to be honest, but I'm just choosing.
Because Beth had never watched The Wire and refuses to watch The Wire. Terry also refuses to watch The Wire.
Yeah, there's quite a few. But I just went with Game of Thrones, so yeah.
Okay. I'd be interested to see what you think of Game of Thrones. So if you could watch the whole of Game of Thrones for next week's pilot podcast, that'd be great.
Sure. I'll do it on the plane to Marbella.
On the 7-hour plane journey to Marbella, you can watch all of Game of Thrones.
Definitely.
Okay, good. So that's your one answer, as is your want. Boydie?
I mean, the answer is the OA, obviously, but we'll be getting to that in news.
You'd rewatch the OA?
I'd rewatch the OA, yeah. I haven't watched it again for about a year, at least. So,
do you do it semi-regularly?
Semi-regularly. Okay. I think I've watched it probably...
Why are you obsessed with it, in a nutshell?
Six or seven times. I just think it's one of the best things ever on TV.
Oh, and, fine. Seems like a good reason.
It's got particularly... It's one of those rare... I think there's a theory I have, which is built on my entirely around my own personal viewing habits, which is that I find it much more tempting to rewatch comedies than dramas. It's very rare that I feel with a drama, I want to rewatch that. And whereas James is off, you know, rewatching all of these things on a constant rotation basis. But with the OA, it's immensely rewatchable as well because it's so kind of rich and densely packed with stuff going on that it's very pleasurable to rewatch it. At least it has been so far on the rewatches I've done. But there's news on that, so we'll get to that in news. That's okay. The main news line of the day. What I thought of, this is also part of my name-dropping fiasco that I like to do on a regular basis. Obviously, I did host the Black Mirror event at BFI this week on Monday, 2 days ago.
Yes.
And the new exec producer of Black Mirror this year is a lovely lady called Jessica Rhodes. And she was on the panel, and I was looking her up at what she worked on before, and she's produced loads of brilliant shows, including Sharp Objects. You remember Sharp Objects?
Yes, yeah. I do.
The fantastic adaptation of the Gillian Flynn novel. And I was talking to her about it, because remember, it has the most incredible use of closing titles. And I'm not going to spoil it.
Or the worst use of closing titles, depending on your point of view.
Well, I think it's the best.
Well, I think it's the worst, because you don't know it's going to be there, and if you don't watch it, you don't know how the story ends.
But you do, but you do now, listeners, because we told you. Carry on watching through, yeah. Watch the whole 8 episodes. It's like
Walking Dead used to do this. They would occasionally drop in a post-credit sting. And I mean once every few seasons. It's like, people don't watch the credits. Ever. It's not a thing.
But maybe they should. So maybe.
No, but they shouldn't. And I hate it when Marvel does it as well.
Nerds always watch the credits.
I'm a nerd. I don't do it. Really? I turn off a second the credits start.
There might be a post-credits thing.
No, because the thing is, it's not like when you're watching a Marvel movie, you're like, it's going to be one. And you're watching a Fast and the Furious movie, you know there's going to be one. And also, you're sitting in a cinema, so you can kind of get away with it. When you're watching a TV thing, you're like, boom, I'm off. I'm out. I'm done. Do you know what I mean? You're left. You've gone. You're in the kitchen. You're making a cup of tea. You're putting some Marmite on some Jacob's cracker. You're doing whatever you want.
All the different things you could be doing.
You really are listening.
But what I'm saying is, you can't.
We hear what you're saying.
You can't then just. And also, if you're going to have a 6-episode show, you can't just stick a sting in one of them. You could be going out for a walk. You could be baking a cake.
Baking a cake.
Any of these things.
Baking something.
Yes.
Anyway, I loved the audacity of it and the way they use the closing titles, the end titles. And I said that to Jessica when I met her, and she was like, yeah, it was amazing, an amazing move. And she talked about how, you know, very, very daring thing to do. But then she talked at some length, actually, about how brilliant that series is and how talented everyone was on it.
It was great.
So I would suggest that it's an eight-episode, eight-hourer. So it doesn't fulfill all your... What was the number of hours that the listener wanted filled?
It was like 19. I mean, it'll do some of it.
But. Yeah, but I would have a go at Sharp Objects, and I'm tempted to rewatch that thing as well, even though I know what happens in the end, because I think it'd be really interesting to see, to rewatch it, knowing what happens in the end, if you like. So yeah, I would go for... that.
I actually want to watch Pulling as well.
Pulling, BBC Three with Sharon Hawgan's.
Yeah.
One, is it still first... available?
I'd assume so, but when I assume anything, obviously it turns out not to be true.
It's going to be on somewhere.
You'd think it'd be on BBC iPlayer.
Yeah, but then you think Home would be on Channel 4 Online or whatever the fuck it's called, and it isn't, so...
Travesty.
Yeah.
The other shocking thing, of course, about Sharp Objects to say is that the director, Jean-Marc Vallée, died a couple of years ago. So weird. So very sad. But just in 2021. But the programme itself is one of the best things he ever did. He also did Big Little Lies, didn't he? Series 1, I think.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. And it's got his... I just remember what Jessica told me about that he got competitive editing done on it. That he would get different editors to work on episodes at the same time to kind of see which was the better version.
Like the Great British Edit Off.
Right, yeah. And if you watch the show, editing, in fact, all of his stuff, like Big Little Lies and this particularly, it is all about the editing. There's loads of like flashbacks, flash forwards.
Is this for Sharp Objects?
Yeah.
And was this for individual episodes?
Yeah.
Because then doesn't it get, so you don't have any cohesion then?
Well, it's a very fractured, the whole thing is a fractured narrative and a fractured kind of show. I'm not sure the detail of how many episodes each person was competitively editing on, but in general, that was the thing that he liked to do, yeah. Interesting.
Dog eat dog.
Yeah, that's harsh. Okay, that's a decent use of time.
Thanks.
It's, I couldn't rewatch Game of Thrones in 19 hours, obviously, because it's about 70-odd hours long, so that wouldn't be an option. Though I would like to do another Game of Thrones rewatch.
Of course you would.
That does appeal to me. I have a list. Not that I prepared for this one, but I have a standing list on my phone of shows
I
need to watch.
Really?
Let's see. Oh, wow, he does.
It's an IMDb list.
No, it's a list. It's a little app I have on my phone that enables me to put it. So I have a list of books I need to read, films I need to watch, shows I need to watch.
So you've added all the sleeves and the covers?
No, he does it automatically. You just put in the name finds them. It's called Sofa. I'm not plugging it, but it's called Sofa. And
Sofa,
it lets me.
If you want to sponsor us, by all means.
Didn't know about this.
Yeah. And so you can, I don't think I've talked about the podcast before, but this is how I organize. So if I'm like at a loose end, I think I need to watch something, then I can consult this big old list of stuff that's on my to watch list.
Wow.
Nothing spontaneous about his viewing,
so,
remember?
Right. So things I would do if I had 19 hours. I suppose it's like last time when I got COVID, when one of you, I'm sure, gave me COVID. I watched all of Better Call Saul because that was like a pressing thing that I felt I needed to watch. The Americans is a show I have never finished. Mm. And that, I feel, is an egregious oversight which I need to address. I really want to do a complete end-to-end Banshee rewatch. That's on my list, definitely. I've never seen Baptiste. That's on my list randomly.
Great.
Yeah, I've got that on there. American Crime Story. The Missing first. That's also on my list. Yeah. American Crime Story. Never watched a single episode of any of. That's not true. We reviewed the most recent one, so I've watched an episode of that. But I want to watch the OJ, the first one.
The OJ is a masterpiece.
Yeah, fantastic.
Absolutely.
So that's on my list. Yeah. Berlin Station. I started once, but and all of it, it's come to something.
Sky, it's on Sky.
It's come Sky, hasn't it, recently? All of them, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
That's on my list because people really like that. And I watched the first couple and couldn't get into it, but that might just be me. Mm. Billions is on there as well.
You've never watched Billions?
Oh, I've watched a few episodes here and there.
Billions has gone on a long time.
Yeah, that's the only slight thing.
It's a lot.
I've got some slightly random ones here. I've started a Cracker rewatch, so I need to finish. I need to finish Cracker.
That's classic.
Yeah. What? There's nothing wrong with that. It's like perfectly legitimate.
We've got an insight into what he's like as a teenager, though.
Mm. You know, Cruel Summer has, I believe, returned in the States. Do you remember Cruel Summer?
Yeah.
About the girl in the basement? I was enjoying that, and I only watched the first couple, and I never pressed on,
so that's been on my list for a while. I didn't know that.
Season 2 of Cruel Summer is airing in the States. I don't know. I just remember seeing it on the web that it had returned.
Genuinely.
That was on there. I never finished A Discovery of Witches. Let's be honest, I never will. Fear the Walking Dead is still on my list. That's not going to happen because there's like a billion episodes of it. But that's on there. I would probably plow through For All Mankind because I am, I think, halfway through season 2 at the moment. So I'm picking up episodes every night. Oh, that is something I have watched this week. I watched 2 episodes of For All Mankind.
How much time was that guy had available? Because I feel like that's the length of this list. It's
interminable. Yeah, exactly.
I see what you're doing there. Mm-hmm. I see what you're doing there. Let me think. Is there anything else on here I wish to share? Lupin is on my list.
Watch Lupin.
I want to watch Lupin. I want to watch the rest of The Magicians, which I never watched the rest of, which is based on the Lev Grossman books. I quite enjoyed that. The final season of Mr. Robot, I have still never watched.
Oh, yeah. Mr. Robot was really good. Yeah.
Yeah. So quite a few. I want to do I had on my list to do a rewatch of Spooks. That's never going to happen because, again, it's too long, but I quite wanted to do that.
I feel like we need to get a TV viewing sabbatical. Is that a thing? I just feel like I need a couple of months off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, so just check. Cruel Summer, by the way, is season 2 is landing in the US in June this month.
Oh, so it's not landed in the US yet?
It doesn't say the specific date. June the 5th. It has landed.
Okay, landed. But it's not come to the UK yet.
It certainly hasn't come to the UK yet. And the interesting thing is it's a different case, as I suspected. Okay. Yeah, it's a separate story.
Didn't feel like the other one necessarily would continue.
No.
Also on my list, Yellowstone. I've never watched, obviously, I've watched the first episode of Yellowstone, but I've never watched beyond that, so I felt like I wanted to give that a go.
So I
have quite a few things on there. I mean, looking at it now, so many of these I'm never, ever, ever going to get to. But I have a list. I have a list. The list is life.
Maybe I'll get a list as well.
Maybe you'll get a list as well. Okay, we'll have a list, but I'll only ever have one thing on it. Right, so that was the listener question. If you have a question for us and you'd like us to address it on this show or indeed on Pilot Plus, which you can get now for the price of only 2 soaring malt loaves until
still
July.
Still less than a coffee.
Still less than a coffee. You can get several soaring malt loaves for the price of a coffee. It's quite impressive. Anyway, do send them to us at Pilot TV Pod on Instagram or Twitter, or to me at James C. Dyer on Instagram, and we will find your questions there. Right. Boydie, you said you had some OA news. So as we segue now into the quote-unquote news section, otherwise known as things that may or may not have been reported on the internet last week. So,
you
know. Apologies, guys.
What's the word for news? Olds?
Yeah, olds. Yeah.
Olds.
Was news.
Yeah, once was news. Yeah. This was once news.
The past.
Yeah.
A brief history lesson.
But this is such good news that I feel it's like ongoing news that we can savour during the week or whatever.
By the time this actually arrives
in your listeners' ears, in our listeners' ears. Basically, Disney Plus has confirmed they will be showing the new limited series from the creators of the OA, Zal Batmanglij and Britt Marling, in the UK in August. And it sounds like, because it's on FX in the States, it sounds like it's going to be roughly at the same time that it'll air in the States. It used to be called Retreat. It's been called Retreat to this project, known as Retreat in the last years, but it's changed its title, intriguingly, and it's now called A Murder at the End of the World, which I consider to be a very interesting title. It stars Emma Corrin, Clive Owen, Harris Dickinson, and Britt Marling herself. The first images have been released, which look like basically Emma Corrin's character, who is the lead role, kind of looking scared. And then there's a shot of her next to Harris Dickinson. They're both like hooded vibe going on there. But the description of the story is, it's a mystery series with a new kind of detective at the helm, a Gen Z amateur sleuth and tech-savvy hacker named Darby Hart, played by Emma Corrin. Darby and eight other guests are invited by a reclusive billionaire, Clive Owen, to participate in a retreat at a remote and dazzling location. When one of the other guests is found dead, Darby must use all of her skills to prove it was murder against a tide of competing interests and before the killer takes another life. So it's the OA team doing a kind of sounding like a whodunit in a retreat somewhere. Bring it on. I mean, it's got everything you'd want from a project.
Yeah, except the person who done it is going to end up being a psychic octopus or an Internet of Trees or
Let's
something
hope
like
so.
That. Yes.
Let's bloody well hope so. I literally cannot wait.
You look so excited.
I'm so excited. Mm. The new thing from the geniuses behind the OAK is enough. But the description, the cast, the pictures, everything about it, and the fact, but the best news of all is that, because sometimes we do have to wait for Disney Plus to get around to showing big shows that arrive in America months before, like American Horror Story particularly, that happens with, to my great annoyance, most years. Whereas clearly they've announced, no, this is a priority show. It's going to be available to UK viewers pretty much at the same time as it arrives in the States. And that is fantastic news. That's my news.
That is good news.
Yeah.
Well done, Boydie.
Thank you.
Kay, do you have any news for us?
Only that I have read the Brian Cox and Emily Blunt Variety interview that I had mentioned on Pilot Plus, because there was a video of Kieran Culkin having a very sweet interaction with Brian from behind the scenes of the shoot. And I have to say, it is great. So if anyone is interested in Succession/Brian/Emily, do check it out online. Highlights include Brian talking about people in LA pretending to be happy but are miserable, that he's bored of watching Succession, although he qualifies it by saying he prefers to be, like the doing of it rather than watching it back.
So, yeah, he doesn't watch it. He's said that before, hasn't he?
And lastly, the bombshell that the socks he was wearing says, I'm allergic to idiots, which I want. I want those socks.
Those were the socks he was wearing?
Yeah. I don't know if he was joking about those, but I hope they're real.
I mean, again, my theory that Brian Cox is turning into...
he's turning into Logan Roy.
Did you see the video of him with Kieran?
Yes, I did. Yeah, I loved it. We talked about that on
It was like
didn't
it was Logan.
We talked about that on Plus, I think. Mm. Yes. Yeah, it's fantastic. Yeah, it was literally like they're both their characters. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, yeah. But I love him, but I think he almost admits that he's kind of absorbed some of Logan Roy himself.
But isn't he just like
himself.
A grumpy old man?
Yeah, he is grumpy old man. Yeah,
I don't think it's necessarily,
right.
You know, he's...
Yeah, what came first? The casting of a grumpy old man as a grumpy old man or the casting? Yeah, who knows?
But yeah, it's very enjoyable. So I would highly recommend reading it.
Those things are brilliant. I mean, I know it's plugging another is it a rival? It's not a rival to us.
No.
It's probably a rival to Empire Variety. I don't know.
It's fine.
But those actor on actor things are absolutely brilliant. They really are. Like, you'd think it would be annoying to have actors talking, but no, it's fantastic. Yeah. And Emily Blunt, I have to say, Emily Blunt, having interviewed her at length myself, is one of the most down to earth brilliant people anyway. So the two of them together is a brilliant match. It's that those are the, that's it's who they match them with, isn't it? That works really well. But yeah.
Yes, indeed.
Any news from you, James?
Oh, Treat Williams died, which is really, really upsetting. Treat Williams, who played Dr. Andy Brown on Everwood. He was in like Deep Rising, bunch of stuff. He's one of these guys who's been in so many things. By all accounts, a lovely man. But yes, he very tragically died at the age of 71 in a motorcycle crash,
which
is very sad. Mm. So, any other news?
I have to say, I did almost completely forget about the news element because we were recording so far in advance. So I was very pleased that the OA related news did drop this week.
Frankly, nothing has happened because we literally did the podcast like 2 days ago.
You haven't said any news yet, James.
Can I just say something? I just realised I'm letting you rag on me for this.
I'm not ragging on you. No,
I know you're not, but you know.
I think he is.
El Belendio. But we're just doing it one day earlier than we usually do it. One day.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a big day.
A lot happens.
It's a big 24
what
hours.
A difference,
what's your problem?
What a difference a day makes. I put it to you. Take any season of 24 and you will see exactly what can happen in a day, okay?
Okay, I've got more news. Here we go. By the way, I noticed you haven't given us any news yet.
I don't know. Treat Williams has died.
Oh, yeah, Treat Williams. All right, okay. The first shots of BBC One's second series of Time. Remember the first series of Time set in prison with Sean Bean?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Which was brilliant. I thought, and Jimmy McGovern. It's an anthology style. So the second series is set in a women's prison and has a brilliant cast of, let's remind ourselves, Jodie Whittaker, Tamara Lawrence and Bella Ramsey.
Wow. Wow.
Which is a brilliant trio. And there's a shot, they've released a shot of the three of them as female prisoners in this prison. And Jimmy McCovern's written this second series as well. Siobhan Finneran is in it as well.
Oh, from, I love her.
The Downton. Brilliant Siobhan Finneran.
And from Everything.
Everything. And particularly...
Alma's Not Normal.
I was obviously thinking of that. Of Happy Valley.
Yes, of course.
And she was in the first series as well, of course. She was prison chaplain in the first series, so she is back. Sophie Willan's in it as well from Amazon Normal, as just Brent mentioned mine. Judy Graham from Shetland. The cast is fantastic. And it's set in the fictional high security prison, Carlingford. The characters played by Ramsay Whittaker and Lawrence arrive on the same day to start their sentences, and then they get embroiled in hopefully not as horrific stuff as happened in the first series, but stuff that is very interesting.
See, okay, but that sounds like I'm going to have to watch it. And Time was very good, but also quite a difficult
watch.
It was
distressing.
Like, it was.
Did you actually sit through Time?
I didn't watch through every episode, no, but the ones I did watch was the first. It was only three, wasn't it? Three episodes? Yeah, I think I watched the first two. Yeah. And it was a lot to deal with.
It was one of the most, I found it one of the most distressing things I'd watched.
And you know how much I enjoy distressing things, so.
Yeah, you didn't watch it, no.
Okay. No, I didn't. I watched one episode and then I stopped.
It was too much. Yeah, okay.
Right. Okay, that's what we laughably refer to as news. Time now for our second guest. And Boyd mentioned the OA recently, so it's quite appropriate that we have Patrick Gibson on the podcast, the star of Shadow and Bone, who also, lest we forget, was in the OA. Now, Boyd, why did you speak to him this time?
He is in Before We Die. This is the show, it's the second series of the show in which he plays the son of Leslie Sharp's character, who's a detective, and they are estranged in series one. Spoiler alert, they're back together in series two. He's off on the run, but it's a big crime drama adapted from a Swedish original, and it's a big drama event on Sky. It starts on Sunday, running on five consecutive nights.
We reviewed the first season on this podcast.
I think we did review the first season on this very podcast. Ask Patrick about the OA. You'll be pleased.
And Shadow and Bone.
And I think I do even mention Shadow and Bone, especially for you. In fact, I think I actually might even mention your name.
Oh,
excellent!
No,
yeah, I look forward to it.
Yeah.
This is Boyd. I'm Patrick Gibson.
Welcome to the Pilot TV podcast, by the way. Patrick Gibson, how are you doing?
Thank you very much. It's good to be here. Yeah, I'm good. I'm actually just at home. I'm in London, which is lovely. Nice.
You've got a very kind of straightforward, like photogenic background.
Look at this. You know, I'm just trying it out. You're my you're my test guinea pig for this.
I know because
my background is usually quite chaotic. If this thing comes down, you'll see the truth of of my life. So I like to this is keeping the illusion alive.
That's very calm.
Everything together.
Very calming. We're talking about Before We Die series two. Did you know, when did you find out there was going to be a second series, by the way? Because was it kind of part of the whole deal to start with, that it would play over two series, or did that come later?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. Because the original did two. So we knew that there was the possibility for it, but it was not I think I was signed up for just one, so it was a really great surprise to hear that we got to continue the story. I think the first one set it up, a lot of the relationships up, which were really interesting, and then I think to have the opportunity for the writers to then really take it to the next level in the second season was really exciting.
And as the second season begins, you're in Costa Rica. Let's shine some light on the mission. Was that actually filmed in Costa Rica, or was it in like Pinewood or something like that?
You know, Costa Rica by way of Almeria, Spain. So basically, I mean, there was talk about doing it on the beach in Brighton, and that
really?
Yeah, I was like, I don't know how we sell that. Do I like put me in like a coconut bra or something, and then notice the? But yeah, it was.
Does Costa Rica have a stony, pebbly beach like Brighton then? I know.
Yeah. Everything. There'd be a lot of close-ups and just talk about like, Jesus, roasted, isn't it? Mm. We ended up getting to do it in Almeria in Spain, which was great. I think the vibe of the place, the look of it, and especially where the production designers found those locations and stuff. It felt really like Costa Rica. It was kind of that.
Yeah, it does look lush, it has to be said. Yeah,
was nice. I'm not going to lie.
Good. It wasn't a trial to be filmed.
No, it was. I mean, it was roasting. We did have 32 degree heat, and we were doing this mad stunt sequence. And it was like everyone was like fanning each other and spraying each other with water. And Try not to pass out with the heat. So, yeah.
And you have got, it's fair to say, you've got fairly fair skin, haven't you? Fair, the Irish kind of, how was that dealing with the sun and the heat?
I don't tan. I immediately sort of just go into full lobster mode. So, right. There's definitely, I feel like a bit of a diva. There's always somebody following me around with an umbrella. It's a bit ridiculous, to be honest. I also just go very red immediately if I get hot. So
yeah,
I think in real life, I don't think I'm fully cut out to be an action hero in Costa Rica, but thankfully there's enough people around you to make it look like you're not dying.
Because you are an action hero now. I mean, in this first episode, without wanting to spoil it, there's a big fight action scene. You're just going to the shops to get some pineapple, ostensibly.
Yeah.
It's one of the most dangerous pineapple-related trips I think there's ever been, surely.
Definitely one of the most dangerous pineapple-related trips I've ever had. Yeah, it was... It's really fun, actually, how... Because Christian's kind of got the paranoia that has come from all the experiences that he's had in the first season. And... they're very quickly validated, those fears by what goes down in that first episode. And it was really fun. You know, I think just to get to push it to that level, and he's had training at that point, you know, Billy, who's Vincent Regan's character, has shown him some stuff, and he just knows the level of danger that is kind of imminent at all times. And to get to see that kind of coiled spring suddenly get released and get some action it was really fun. And just, I mean, that was a quick turnaround. Like, I think we had like 2 days, maybe even a day stunt rehearsal, and then we did it. But those stunt guys were incredible. They take a punch much better than I throw one, and they really sell it. So yeah, it was class.
When you're kind of know you're going to film like actiony kind of stuff, do you have to get in the zone? Like, is it different from filming like a normal sequence? You know, when you're, I don't know, like when you're smooching with your girlfriend or whatever, is it a very different challenge to kind of do that stuff?
Yeah, they are different challenges. You don't want to get them mixed up. That's for sure. You don't end up snogging a stuntman by mistake.
Yeah. Right.
But no, it's definitely. Yeah, I mean, I think there's a bit of pressure because you know that everything's kind of on a time limit and you really want to get it right and you want it to look good. I think a show like this, it really does hinge on those elements kind of really selling. And when you're on location as well, you've only got a certain amount of time to get it right. So there was, there's definitely, yeah, you're in the zone. But everybody around us, like the guys who, all the stunt team, were so good. But there's definitely an element of danger. Like, you also don't want to kind of get a broken nose or something. And when they say action and you're actually doing that scene, it's pretty high octane. Like, you got like live blanks going off. And you don't want to be standing in the wrong place when one of those guys is throwing a kick or something.
No, absolutely not. Yeah. Just go back to obviously it's a great premise, this show, because, you know, you're with a girl who is the daughter of a kind of kingpin woman, a head crime family, and you are the mm-hmm. son of a policewoman played by Leslie Shaw. It's such a great premise. But the thing that I loved I love Leslie Sharp. She's one of the greatest actresses, I think, of our time, isn't she? So when you signed on, did you know that Leslie Sharp was going to be playing your mum? Or did that come later?
I did, yeah. That was a huge draw. As soon as I heard that, I've seen Leslie on stage a few times, and yeah, just to get the opportunity to work with her in such close quarters. And she's such, I think from her theater background, so she's just such a collaborator that was really exciting getting to do that with her. And she was amazing.
And did you watch the original show, I think? Is that right?
Yes, yeah. And I didn't actually watch it until after we'd done the first season.
Okay.
I'm always kind of hesitant to, because there's kind of a fear that you end up doing like an impression of something.
Yeah.
I waited until after we'd shot it. And it was interesting to see the things that were similarities. Like, I think it really made me realize that the kind of DNA of a character, you sort of have to go quite far off it to be very different to the original. It was funny, yeah.
And what's the Swedish version of you like?
He's Swedish.
Yeah.
And he's a lot more handsome.
Oh, come on.
He's a far better actor, but apart from that, pretty similar. Yeah, he was pretty much.
I can't believe any of those things.
No, he was brilliant. I loved his performance. He's amazing.
In this series, like, so as it starts off, you're on the run. You're being, you know, you're basically the target of assassins, right? Which, yeah. And you could be. I've only seen the first episode. Do you kind of get to go to any other locations around? You know, as you're just trying to avoid the assassins, or do you kind of settle in one particular place?
Yeah, we're pretty much in Costa Rica, and then I wonder how much I should say, really, because in that first episode, I'm trying to remember. Do I go anywhere else?
No, I think right at the end, maybe you're about to, I think. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, it's pretty much, it's kind of contained still within Costa Rica and then the story back in the UK. But there's definitely a lot of kind of high adrenaline chase sequence stuff. And I think they did a really nice job of modulating that and sort of, when I say high octane, it's not all just like sprinting away from the bad guys. And there's some really cool kind of subterfuge and yeah, just like a really interestingly told escape. Really.
We are big fans on the podcast of your previous work. I mean, Shadow and Bone, that you arrived in that in season two, which, you know, huge big fantasy show. Was that fun? That fun to do? It looks like great fun to do that.
Oh, it was amazing. Yeah, that was so much fun. Such a great cast, and like, I think to come into something that's already established, you're always a bit like unsure, but just the level of the production and the whole art department and everything, like you fully get transported into this other world. It was really cool. And yeah, we're still waiting to hear it. We go again.
Yeah. Oh God, let's hope so. Yeah. 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 We'll see. And of course, I met you in once an event, I think it was, and of course I started banging on about the OA. I mean,
yes.
For me, the OA is one of the greatest TV shows of all time. How was that a life changing experience for you?
That was, yeah. Like on a number of levels, kind of creatively in a way, definitely. Although I don't think any of us really knew what we were making at the time. Everyone just knew that it was incredibly fulfilling and felt very special, but you sort of didn't imagine anyone was going to end up seeing it. It just felt like something that we were doing for ourselves. But then also, yeah, just on like a personal level, I think being that age, like I was quite young and working with Britt and Zal, and they were just so kind of nurturing, and they allowed us so much freedom and trusted us so much with the experience. And interestingly, kind of on the converse side, like because they couldn't tell us very much about the story because it was so secretive and they didn't want anything to get out, the OA kind of asked us to take this leap of faith, and they kind of did the same thing and were like, just go with us, trust it. And because of who they were and just their amazing integrity, everyone was more than willing to be like, all right, let's go, let's do it.
It was
an amazing experience, and I'm very excited to see their new show,
hopefully coming soon this year, I think.
So I had a very good friend of mine was on it, and it sounded, by all accounts, equally kind of mind-boggling and amazing to work on.
Wow. Do you have any idea like where it was going to go after? I mean, I think the finale, that final bit, which is one of the most audacious endings to a TV season ever, which of course I think it's pretty much the final shot as well, by the way. Did you have any idea where it was going to go after that? Did they tell you about that?
I didn't at the time. Subsequently, I've kind of heard some stuff and it was pretty amazing. Yeah. There's a mad kind of, I don't know, it's sort of, because of where it ends in that season, and I've actually recently gotten weirdly obsessed with going through this book that was all about all these kind of mathematicians and people who made early discoveries in quantum mechanics and stuff, this kind of multiverse theory and Schrodinger and all of these guys. And it oddly feels like it entered into the real world in a way that I haven't had any other story do that. So yeah, it's always felt like this mad thing that kind of exists in a world out there, which gave it some closure for me in a way. Like it didn't, right. The, you know, it whatever happened with that show felt very like that was what was meant to be. And it was nuts though. And we didn't know about any of that stuff. Like they didn't tell us that was how it was going to end. I remember reading that script and seeing, I won't give any spoilers away, but seeing a certain character's name and being like, what?
Yeah. Fantastic. Yeah. I was lucky enough to go on set, which is one of the greatest. I bang on about it constantly. Yeah.
I remember we spoke about this.
Yeah. I think I'm the only journalist that ever went on set, I believe. I think. And I spent the whole day with them, and Zal and they were like, Steve was like absolutely key to the whole thing. They thought, you know, they really, and his arc, you know, your arc was like the key to the whole mystery of the show. So I thought it was fascinating. Yeah.
Oh no, I was just gonna say you're the steeziest journalist that I've yet to meet ever. So
thank you. Thanks, Matt.
Always got the most swag.
Yeah, I'll try. Do you think it'll ever, you know, come back in some way, shape, or form? I mean, you know, any chance of any? What do you think?
I really don't know. I mean, it would be really cool to see that, just what they mapped out originally, but come to fruition. But I don't know. Yeah, I haven't thought too much about it, but
Okay. You don't think about it every day like I do, clearly. I mean,
No one
is obsessed. To be fair, me and my colleague James, my podcast colleague James, is also obsessed. So we did a joint interview with Zal and Brett after the show. Yeah. So we're both obsessed. Yeah.
I'll move on. That's awesome. Well, thank you. No, that's true. I'm being glib. I am kind of obsessed with you.
Oh, good. That's good to know. Before we die, do you think, obviously I haven't seen the ending of this series, and the original did last two series, as you said.
Yeah.
Do you have any inkling as to whether this might go on? Would you be interested in going on? Does that spoil things if you admit that it could go on?
No, I mean, I'd love to see it go on. I think, I think there's so much scope. They've sort of given it so much juice in those characters, and the conflicts feel very like they've sort of created them in the first season, and now they're embedded. And I think as the show goes on, like the circumstances that happen and the journeys that those characters go through, those conflicts get kind of more and more ingrained, and it makes it so interesting when they come together, especially like when the Mamiches and Hannah and stuff kind of do cross paths. So much blood has already been spilt, and there's so much at stake at all times, and there's even kind of like an odd respect for each other, like an understanding that happens, even though they can never really see eye to eye. There's kind of, I think Hannah and Christian have gone to the depths of experience and realized how far you will go for a family member and because of loyalty. Mm. So yeah, I'd love to see those characters continue and what happens, but won't give anything away.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. And what about you? Would you like to do stuff? You do like to kind of make your own stuff? You like to write and kind of direct maybe your own stuff? Is that something that interests you?
It's funny you say that. Yeah. I've always been kind of hesitant to talk about it because sometimes I feel like talking about things too early and kind of kill it, but I have been writing. I've actually been sort of I've always wanted to, and I've always kind of dabbled in it, but for the first time in a while now, since kind of last year, I've been really enjoying it. It's kind of been giving me that same spark that acting kind of does. And yeah, I'd be really interested to make my own stuff. So we'll see. I know there's a writer's strike at the moment.
Yeah.
But I'm not in the WG. I'm not really officially a writer. So while things are quite quiet, that's really been keeping the kind of juices flowing for me. So yeah, I would love to write and direct. That's definitely something I hope to be on.
TV? You think TV series or film or just?
Yeah, it's interesting. I think most of the things that I've been kind of doing have started as like just a story. And then I've kind of found the medium through figuring out the story. One of them, there's like a feature film and one of them is a short film. And then, yeah, an idea for a series, which seems like such a behemoth of a task to undertake, you know? But yeah. I think, you know, these days you can work on a pilot and then have the rest of it mapped out. But as a stand-up, yeah, I'm writing a feature which I'm really enjoying and feels kind of exciting, but it's, I don't want to speak too soon.
Sure, fair enough.
Until I give it to somebody else, they're like, this is rubbish.
right. Brilliant. Well, I look forward to seeing that. Thanks so much. Cheers, Paddy. Thanks for joining us. That's brilliant. Thank you.
All the best.
Let's move on to this week's reviews then. And first up this week, we've got Secret Invasion, the latest outing from the MCU stable. And this one puts superheroics on the back burner, instead opting for a Cold War-style espionage thriller, only with, you know, shape-shifting aliens. So, who is going to tell us about Secret Invasion, or as I prefer to call it, Skrull-fucked? I'm going to say Kay. Why don't you tell us all about this one?
No, I haven't watched it, as you know.
So is this the one you're blaming me for opening the door to this, aren't you?
What, for leading?
I am. I'm blaming you.
You're blaming me.
Yeah, I'm blaming you for opening the door to someone randomly.
We're in full mutiny at this point.
To watch
a show. I'm not refusing. I ran out of time.
Okay.
Because I had a lot on this week. I'm about to get a flight. I just couldn't squeeze it in.
What did you do last night, Kay?
I was watching the other shows we're previewing, James.
Oh, okay. Okay, mm-hmm. Fine.
And then...
A full interrogation. Like
Then I was a diva and I had a little bit of sleep too.
What time did you go to bed?
What?
I went to bed at 11 o'clock, which is late for me, and I got up at 6 to continue watching stuff.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't know why I'm answering these questions, actually. What am I doing?
I'm just saying, look, Boyd and I both found time to watch 2 hours of Secret Invasion last night. Just,
oh my God, I meant to say, have you caught up on Best Interest yet?
I see what you did there.
Come on.
Boydie, yes. Please tell us all about Skrull-fucked.
Notably, no answer.
Once I got through the absolute complexity of the multi-factor authentication system. You have to sign.
It's not that taxing.
Oh my God. It is.
I did log on.
It is.
It's fine.
I mean, let's just say Disney has more than one. First of all, they're more than one way
it's
of watching their shows.
It's a lot to deal with.
Their big shows have this. Oh my God.
Is this what we're going to do? We're going to review the two-factor authentication.
James, it's important. As reviewers, it's an important part. For obviously listeners, no one gives a shit because it's easy for them to watch.
Anyway,
but it can be,
I was trying to give Kay more reason to not watch it, but there we go. Once I made it through all that, I'll tell you what's interesting about Secret Invasion is that it starts with the clunkiest exposition burst of anything I've seen in a long time. Like, it basically, Martin Freeman's character sits down with the other character, and they just chat about the story and the storyline and where we are in this and where to position this story in the Marvel Cinematic Universe stories that have got preceded it. And then, as if that's not enough, when Samuel L. Jackson arrives, he engages in another long bit of exposition with another character explaining what's happened to him in recent times. So I was thinking, like, you could have just started with a recap, maybe, you know, of the things that we need to know once we begin watching this show. Because I have to say, if Kay had watched this show, Kay, listeners, you may not be aware, I would say he's not the most avid consumer of Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Absolutely not.
Stuff, films/television.
I might get into it at some point.
Right. But I think you would have been fairly mystified as to what the fuck's going on in this show without a kind of minimum, you know, few minutes of reminder of or even discovery of what's going on in this world. Once you get past all that, and once you get past the fact that there's a certain amount of, shall we say, clunkily obvious stuff about, you know, kind of analogies and metaphors of a group of people, the Skrulls, who are being treated in a certain way and are rebelling against, you know, the mainstream, you could call them a race, if you like, against the mainstream society and the world, in fact, and they're very, very angry for various reasons, then I really enjoyed it. I have to say, I really enjoyed it. And it might be because the fact that, like, the cast is astonishing. So as well as Samuel L. Jackson's Nick Fury, who's effectively the lead, Ben Mendelsohn as the leader of the Skrull sect is fantastic always. Kobe Smulders is in it as a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent. She's fantastic. Martin Freeman's back. Kingsley Benadir from the OA, for fuck's sake.
True.
I may have mentioned the OA is there as the leader of the Skrull rebellious/terrorist group and is just brilliant.
Emilia Clarke from Game of Thrones.
Emilia Clarke is in it from Game of Thrones. Dermot Mulroney plays the President of the United States. Olivia fucking Colman is in it as a British, as a kind of, I loved her scenes with
Samuel she's amazing.
Jackson. She's amazing in it. Absolutely brilliant. Dom Cheadle is back, reviving his role. And he's now like an advisor or something. I don't know. Anyway, Richard Dormer, by the way, I haven't even got around to him.
That's right.
Also from Game of Thrones. It is unbelievable, the cast. And the production values are fantastic, as you expect from all. It's, well, actually, some Marvel shows have been, production values have been less than amazing, I would say.
Some, but they all have a decent amount of money on screen.
But yeah. This looks pretty great, I thought.
Yeah.
And there's an action sequence towards the end that I thought was pretty spectacular and scary and very well done. It relies heavily on the idea that the Skrull are shapeshifters and can adopt, can look like other characters. Yes. And so it's got that kind of body snatcher thing, shapeshifting thing that we've seen many times before, but actually it is quite an effective use of it in the show. So I actually really, really enjoyed this.
Mm. It's very different from really anything they've done before on the small screen. I think it shares DNA with, I guess, Winter Soldier and Black Widow, if you're looking at films, in that it's a kind of paranoia-soaked, suspenseful thriller, like an espionage thriller, Cold War feeling espionage thriller. It's a very different vibe. And I thought it was, exactly the same thing. But I was watching it, I was thinking, this is an odd one because it's not for kids.
No, no.
At all. For a number of reasons. Not least of all that someone literally gets their finger cut off, but and it's quite graphic. But also, it's quite knotty and plotty and convoluted. Mm. Plus, there's a lot of chats. It's very chat-based. There is, I mean, don't get me wrong, there's big action in there as well. But there's a lot of discussion of conspiracies and theories and plots and politics and immigration status and all of that stuff that kids really enjoy in their shows. But I like the idea of it. I like the idea that, and we see a bit of young Fury in it, as we did in Captain Marvel. I like the idea that the Skrulls came to Earth and Fury promised them that in exchange for their assistance with S.H.I.E.L.D., he would find them a new home. And so it's about broken promises, and it's about asylum seekers essentially feeling that they've been forgotten, feeling that they've been marginalized, feeling that they've had promises broken to them, and they are then, you know, in a state of desperation, which has led to a kind of revolt, hence the conspiracy, where this faction of Skrulls is dissatisfied, shall we say, with how they've been treated.
Yes.
So, you know, the real world parallels. The real world parallels are not what I would call subtle.
No, that's, but, yeah. But
they resonate, right? Yeah, and it feels real. And also, it's kind of cool because they're shape-shifting aliens. So if you're going to do, you know, a conspiracy thriller, who can we trust? Who's a spy? If they can be anyone, it adds an extra layer to that, as you said, the kind of body snatchers feel to it. So, yeah, I thought it was a really interesting change of direction for Marvel's TV stuff. Like, it feels more Andor. I mean, it would be really, really reductive to say that this is Marvel's Andor. It isn't. Like, not least of all because it's just not as good as Andor, but it's actually a lot better than I thought it would be. I had slight concerns about Secret Invasion, but actually from the first two that I've seen, I'm feeling pretty positive about it. Yeah, but I do think a lot of kids are going to watch this and go, what the hell is going on?
Yeah, it's definitely not for kids at all. Yeah. No, but that's what.
But neither was Moon Knight in some regard, because Moon Knight was quite violent.
Yeah, completely. Yeah,
even if it was easier to follow.
Yeah. Yeah, but this is like an adult is an adult piece of quite sophisticated stuff. Sophisticated stuff. And I really like the fact that it is kind of like it's more. Everyone said about Winter Soldier that it's a bit like the Marvel's version of a paranoid 70s thriller.
This 100%. Really is, and like this really is. Yes,
like that. As much as it could be, it's still a very mainstream
big, ends with great big boom fighty helicarriers. Right. So
whereas this does feel genuinely different. And if you're going to keep doing Marvel shows on TV, and why wouldn't you, then at least make them different. And this does feel very different, actually, tonally. Yeah. I thought the banter between Samuel L. Jackson and Ben Mendelsohn was great. Like, they have a lot of stuff where they're doing stuff together and they're just kind of riffing.
But that was really smart, because also it kind of underscores the fact that they've known each other for literal decades at this point. Like, you wouldn't, none of it you've seen on screen, but they've been friends since the 90s.
Right.
So they would be very close. Yeah. And you see that there.
That's very well handled, which is good. I thought it was really good.
Yeah. Yeah. Great people. Great show. Really enjoyed it. Okay. You missed out. There you go.
I know.
You chose
maybe
poorly.
I'll catch up. If I can log in.
If you can sort out the two-factor authentication, you will log in. There you go. That's an endorsement. Secret Invasion, aka Skrull Fucked, which lands on Disney Plus on Wednesday. Right. With the first two episodes, I believe.
Yes.
Drop it once.
Yes.
Next up this week, we have The Change on Channel 4. This one is written by and starring the excellent Bridget Christie as Linda, a woman who discovers she's going through the menopause and decides to hop on her old Triumph motorbike and head off to the Forest of Dean. As you do. Okay, was this a triumph, or did it make you want to go and live in the woods?
I enjoyed this immensely. I wasn't sure because, as you said, so Bridget Christie plays Linda. She, when we find her, she's having her 50th birthday. You can tell that her life is like, I mean, her kids are kind of unappreciative of her. Her husband, when he makes a speech, it's all about her being a mom. And, you know, like, she's just taken for granted. That's very, very clear from the outset. And she's basically like, everyone's dog's body, and she's become quite boring with it. Like, as her sister attests, you know, she's played by Lisa Tarbuck, and she's just very bored by Linda's work stories, etc. And what happens is, as James said, she goes to the doctor because she's had like symptoms of memory loss, anxiety, rage. She thinks maybe she's got the early onset of like dementia or something, but actually it transpires that she's got the menopause. And then she has like this epiphany where she's like, what am I doing with my life? She has made a note of all the time she spends looking after everyone, and she suddenly decides she's going to reclaim that. Now, I think this could very easily become very sort of overly earnest or preachy or saccharine, but actually it was none of those things. It felt very real, slightly left-wing in places. She goes, as James said, on her bike to the Forest of Dean. I think it's because Bridget Christie, the creator of this, isn't she from the Forest of Dean? Yeah. So she has an attachment to it. And she meets all these really interesting characters. And I just really like this first episode. I've only watched one. Boyd, I know you've watched more. Mm. But it surpassed my expectations, and I thought it was really good. And also raising awareness of an important subject.
Yeah, when this was first announced, which was quite a while ago, actually, we've been waiting quite a while for this to arrive, I thought, I really like Bridget Christie. She's a brilliant stand-up. And she did a whole show, one of her whole stand-up shows was kind of about getting the menopause and how it affects, obviously, half the population and how it's not talked about enough. And it was very much focused on that whole idea of what it means and how it affected her personally, etc. And I thought this comedy was going to be about that, essentially. I mean, it's called The Change, but it kind of isn't, in a way. It's obviously a huge part of about that. The main character is clearly going through the menopause, and that is an issue, and she realises that when she has the brilliant meeting with her doctor in the first episode, who's kind of got this kind of very blunt way with her.
He's
really funny. The whole cast is brilliant, by the way, and I'll go through them in a minute. But what I didn't expect is the Forest of Dean element, because what actually it's about is someone changing their life, and the change is as much, obviously it's the phrase for having the menopause is colloquially known as The Change, but it's about, without wanting to sound too cheesy, her suddenly realising, as she sat there watching her husband play brilliantly by Omar Jalili, making her birthday party all about him.
Yeah.
Of course. Deciding, fuck this for a laugh. I'm just going to go off, leave my family for a bit and do what I want to do.
It's a reclamation of self.
Yeah. Not only that, but go to a particular place, the Forest of Dean, where there's this quite eccentric community of people who've been there a long time and have kind of, you know, like, you know, treat her like the proverbial, you know, character walks into the bar and everyone's like looking at like the American Werewolf in London.
Like kind a townie.
The townie in the countryside, etc. But the eccentric characters are so funny and interesting. Like, there's a radio station in a cafe where you just walk in and sit there, and there's like one woman who's a DJ who's being all mystical and wellness and all of that, and then there's another guy who's really furious and is against all the wokeness that's going on, and you just sit down at the mic and do your bit while everyone's sitting there having their tea and coffee. And
how many
scones.
Episodes have you
only two. So all of the and there, you know, all of these characters played by Susan Lynch, Tanya Moody, Jerome Flynn's in it, Paul Whitehouse. There's a brilliant Paul Whitehouse character.
Oh my God.
Arrives in episode one as a creepy, you know, kind of wants his seductive, would-be seductive, creepy old guy. But she deals with him so brilliantly.
She dispatches him
it's
in
hilarious.
Such a perfect way.
It's a brilliant sequence. And so for me, it's like, get to that bit, which is about halfway through the first episode. If you're not hooked by that sequence and that interaction between her and Paul Whitehouse's character, and he's brilliant in that role, then you know this is or isn't for you. It's totally for me, as far as I'm concerned. Monica Dolan, I haven't finished the cast yet. Jim Howick is the guy, the angry guy on the radio. It's got a great cast, but I just love the whole premise of it and was surprised about the extent to which it really is about her finding this community of weirdos / eccentrics, however you
not
want to put
weirdos.
It. Some of them are weird, Kate. You're definitely supposed to think some of them are weird. So yeah, it's great. It's really good.
And this is the first dramatic thing she's written as well.
Well, I think it's a comedy, James.
Yeah.
Well, no, when I said dramatic, I mean, obviously she writes
scripted.
A stand-up show.
Yeah, like but a scripted
show. Sorry, so
sorry.
Scripted. The first procedural that she's written. No, it's the first scripted thing that she's written. Yes.
Yes, correct.
And it's really, really, really good. I think the reason why this lands so well is, A, she plays it brilliantly, but the writing's incredibly sharp and the jokes are genuinely funny, as you would expect from a stand-up. But it probably made me laugh within, I think, the first 3 minutes or something, which, and I immediately put down Twitter and was like, oh, I need to pay attention to this. This is genuinely funny.
That's big.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's
I was like, oh, I need to give this my full attention. But yeah, it's really good. It is really good. I thought it was delightful. It does go into slightly weird territory. I think that's definitely true once we get to the Forest of Dean.
Mm. Where is the Forest of Dean?
I don't know. Near Dean.
It's in
Gloucestershire. There we go.
Okay, there we go.
Less interesting than I thought.
Fascinating.
Well, that is the West Country, isn't it?
Hang on, Kay's now going to Google where is the West Country. Let's move on.
Yeah.
The change then, which comes to Channel 4 when, Boydie?
Wednesday.
On Wednesday.
10 o'clock.
Finally this week, we have I'm a Virgo, a show that may catch you rather off guard, I think it's fair to say, if you're not already a fan of Boots Riley and haven't seen Sorry to Bother You, which is his utterly deranged kind of surreal comedy film. Needless to say, he pulls no more punches here than he did there. He's constructing an absurdist comedy series about a 19-year-old called Cootie who happens to be 13 feet tall. Boydie, what did you make of the giant mutant teenager?
Oh my God, it's a lot, isn't it, this one?
Have you seen Sorry to Bother You?
Yes, I have.
Yeah.
Yeah. Boots Riley is one of the most interesting creators of stuff out there.
To say he has a distinctive style would be an understatement.
He has a distinctive style. He's a radical, in all senses of the word, filmmaker. Like, he is properly kind of left-wing to the point. He's a socialist, which in America is quite a rare thing to be. He's a very staunch political campaigner. It took him a long time to get his film off the ground. You know, it was only a few years ago. He's been working, you know, he was a part of a band and everything. He's an incredible figure, fascinating figure. And this is, that film was mad in a brilliant way. It was, you know, fascinating. I think this is madder, though, for me. And I knew the premise is, as James alluded to, the fact that this is this 13-foot-tall man, but he's really a giant.
Yes.
I think what you have to...
He's not just tall.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
What did you think, like...
Well, no, but 13-foot, like, twice, it could be twice as tall as a...
Oh, but,
he's not just like a basketball player.
Yeah.
He's an actual giant.
Right, thank
yes.
you.
Yes.
Yeah, you chose, exactly. Yeah.
He's
so,
supersized.
But right from birth, so you see him as a baby and he's this grotesque...
Massive
outsized,
baby.
Massive
yes.
baby. Aww. He's brought up by his aunt and uncle. So the interesting thing is, his aunt and uncle keep him away from polite society, from society,
yeah.
Hidden away in their house, which is kind of destroying as it goes older because he's so big they can't control him, which is a bit like that Channel 4 series, wasn't it? You know, about the father who kept his kid away.
Yes.
Do you remember?
Yeah. Well, after the mother dies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It reminded me a bit of that in that, but this is much, much wilder and insane. Then by the time he becomes a teenager, he's 19, he's played by Jarell Jerome, who was fantastic in When They See Us, the Netflix drama that came out a couple of years ago. He was in Moonlight, etc. And then it becomes a quite heartbreaking thing. I found it really, and it's kind of, it's a comedy-ish, but I mean, you can debate, you know, what genre the fuck it is. It's just a unique thing, isn't it?
It's definitely comedic.
Yeah.
But and deeply surreal.
Deeply surreal. I found it quite a lot to do. I found it quite moving, and in which I wasn't expecting, and also quite disturbing in a way, because the idea that this guy, obviously, so again, this is analogous to racism in general, you know, that what's it like to be a black person in America and to walk the streets and to be treated differently by people, you know, by society, by your peers, etc. And it really, but it, the device of having this kind of grotesquely large figure living in normal sized society and having been kept away from them and not knowing how to behave. So there's also a lot of weird social interactions. He doesn't know how to socially interact with people, and it's odd, and he's treated kind of as a freak by others. Although quite soon, even in episode one, he finds a group of friends who are sympathetic
to him. Which I really like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's a woman he meets at a fast food joint who's immediately like fascinated by him. And in the end, it's like actually he's treated rather nicely. It's kind of sweet the way he's dealt with towards the end. I mean, there is one guy, like one drunken guy in the first episode who kind of tries to attack him because he's a...
You're always going to get one.
But it's kind of interestingly how he is accepted quite quickly, as opposed to the fears of the people who brought him up. There's a lot going on. It's brilliantly done because on a technical level, you know, you really believe this guy is a massive guy, a giant among normal-sized people, so to speak. So it looks amazing. It's handled brilliantly by Boots Riley. And Jarell Jerome is fantastic in the lead role. Walton Goggins pops up. But there's this weird superhero element as well because he's obsessed with comic books and superheroes. And Walton Goggins plays this guy who writes about superheroes, then becomes a superhero or something.
I didn't get that element.
Yeah, I mean, well, who the fuck's going to get it? I mean, it's just weird. Yeah, it's everything that happens is weird and surreal and bizarre. But it's got a really interesting tone, which it shares with Boots Riley's, with the film that Boots Riley did, Sorry to Bother You, and it is really unpredictable and odd and freaky, and you have to acclaim it for that. It has, you know, it has to be given kudos, because it's you'll have never seen anything
it's
like
the most
this.
Original thing on television. It's
James has said it all then. It's the most original thing on television, and it's on Amazon Prime. It's on Prime Video, yeah. For fuck's sake. It's not like, you know, they've gone out on a limb here.
It's one of these things where people, like, some people will violently take against this, yeah. And I think that's fine, and I think Boots Riley is absolutely fine with that as well. But it almost has to be experience. Kate, this strikes me as the kind of thing that you would either really like or violently hate.
I enjoyed it. I agree with everything Boyd said. I think it was moving. And I think Jarell Jerome did a great job of portraying, like, the fact that he was being kept away from the world and just, like, was so, like, he so wanted to be a part of it, but was so sort of brainwashed to think it was a dangerous place, or not necessarily brainwashed, like protected by his family.
Yeah, but it's also interesting the way that it's like, yes, I've heard that obviously you need to get a job, because if you don't have a job, the police send you straight to jail if you're black. Mm-hmm. And this is quite an interesting way of looking at society through the eyes of someone who's never actually witnessed it, but has heard about it.
Yeah.
So, I did enjoy it.
There you go.
That was minimal.
A detailed breakdown there from Kay. Did you watch this one, Kay, or was this another one you didn't have time for?
You cheeky shit. I did watch it, but I just don't believe in wanging on when Boyd...
That was aimed at you, Boydie.
No, aimed at you.
I've covered
Boyd
all the bases.
Said it so comprehensively and well. I was like, why? What's the point of me then just repeating everything he said? AKA your list of shows.
Right, okay.
I was worried about you, James. I thought you might find it too distressing.
I didn't find it distressing particularly. I know what you mean. Like, it's got a lot of hard-hitting stuff, but I think the absurdist nature of it keeps the tone quite light, even when it gets into slightly uncomfortable areas. It's just batshit, though, isn't it, really? Ultimately, is what it comes down to. And I think, you know, it's not... I mean, I Sorry to Bother You, I thought it was an incredible film, but it's not really for me. And it's the same with this. Like, I applaud the fact that Boots Riley makes his stuff and he has this unique vision and he's been allowed to essentially make this show the way he wants to make it. Yeah. And I think people should watch it just to sort of see this type of storytelling and to see what he's trying to do. But yeah, I can't say it's my preferred type of television, but it's really good. There you go. I'm a Virgo then, which lands on Prime Video. When does it land, Boydie?
June 23. What day is that? Is that Friday?
June 23. This is how we're doing this now.
That's what I'm looking at. Yeah, Friday.
Friday. Lands on Friday. Okay, so what else is out?
Oh, there's quite a lot this week. And Just Like That.
Oh, yes. Bring it on.
Yes.
Absolutely not.
Bring it
absolutely
on.
Absolutely
not. That we weren't given screeners for is the reason. We would have absolutely...
Always worrying.
Well, no. I think big HBO stuff even, they often don't send out in advance.
Really?
I don't know. It's like they didn't need to in a way, do they? This huge returning
Everyone is talking
thing.
About it, so yeah.
But yeah, everyone will watch it anyway. So that starts on Sky Comedy. Not Sky Atlantic, Sky Comedy.
I find that weird.
Well, it is a comedy. it's trying to be. On Thursday the 22nd. What else is there? There is Ruby Speaking, which is the next ITVX comedy.
Yes.
In that slot, the count.
Jade Adams.
Yes, which we were talking about on Pilot Plus this week.
Yes. That is Jade Adams, her thing that she's created, her own sitcom, set in a Bristol call centre. And we will be reviewing that, as you say, on Pilot Plus. There's a thing called Glamorous that starts on Netflix on Thursday, which starts talking of Sex and the City. Kim Cattrall is in it. And that is about a young, gender non-conforming man who finds himself stuck in a rut when he lands a job for the legendary makeup mogul and former supermodel Madeline Addison, played by Kim Cattrall. He changes his life. So... That could be interesting.
Dr. Death comes to Channel 4.
Oh, yeah, Dr. Death.
Now, this is a show that you maintain we have reviewed on this podcast before. I have no recollection of it.
Dr. Death has definitely been on. It was on, it's on Lionsgate Plus, formerly known as Stars Play.
Yes.
And it's definitely been on Stars Play for like years.
Okay.
And then it came
so you're
out.
Saying we may have reviewed it in the past?
I think we either reviewed it fully or I just did it myself.
Okay.
But yeah, because that stars one of Kay's famous people, favourite people in it. From Dawson's Creek, you know.
Joshua Jackson.
There She Goes, the special, which I mentioned last week.
I want to watch it.
I banged on about it last week.
I'm going to get a crying headache, but I want to watch it.
Yeah, you will get a crying headache, but you've got to watch it.
I'm sorry, a what?
A crying headache.
You know, when you're crying too much.
Yeah, when you, I mean, it's kind of self-explanatory, but you know when you cry... when you like, you know, when you weep or cry too much, and then your head starts.
I guess James isn't enough at home with his emotions.
No.
I've
never had a crying headache.
Arid. That's why we call him Arid Dyer.
Do you cry when you're watching?
All the time. Yeah, all the time.
Oh well. Watch There She Goes.
I've never had a headache from doing it. So, okay. But you know.
Well, you might do with this.
Well, have you really cried then, James?
BBC Two, Wednesday, 9 o'clock. The There She Goes hour-long special. It is absolutely brilliant. Litvinenko is on ITV1 this week.
That was good.
We did cover that, I think. Well, at least again, I did when it came out on ITVX.
Was it on BritBox?
No, ITVX.
Oh, right.
Yeah, that was one of the early ITVX kind of, the first week.
It was the first week.
Yeah. That's on ITV Monday to Thursday, and there's a documentary about the real Litvinenko as well. There's a Portrait Artist of the Year special on Wednesday. Kay's a big fan of that show.
I love Portrait Artist.
Celebrity versus Kids special, in which celebrities are going to paint alongside primary school pupils. There you go. The new series of Not Going Out, Lee Mack's quite funny sitcom that will be like literally
quite funny.
James's, I mean, couldn't imagine anything worse for James. It's a fairly broad sitcom, but that's been going on for years. 13 seasons, series.
Oh, wow.
Not Going Out. Can you believe it? It's true. That might be it. There is a lot on.
Speaking of which, what topic of the week?
Instantly forgotten what we've done.
What we just reviewed?
The change.
Of the shows that you watched, Kay, which is your pick of the week?
Best interest. No, The Change.
Yeah, I'm going to say The Change as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
What about you?
That's a tricky one, actually.
They're good.
It's either The Change or Secret Invasion. I think it probably depends on your personal preferences.
Choose The Change, because then we're unanimous.
All right, I will choose The Change.
Hurrah.
Because also it's something interesting and different, whereas Secret Invasion is yet another Marvel show, though it is a good one. Right, okay.
Oh, the Righteous Gemstones is back as well this week. I just realised other things that I forgot to mention, because I haven't got my copy of the magazine in front of me. There's also the second series of Before We Die, which is the Channel 4 crime drama starring Leslie Sharp and Paddy Gibson. And I've interviewed Paddy Gibson for this very podcast, and that starts on Sunday, next Sunday, and it goes across 4 or 5 consecutive nights. There's a big drama event.
Okay, that is it for this week's show. We are done. We are out. We are finished. If you enjoyed it, please do head onto Apple Podcasts or Spotify or something else and leave us a 5 sorry malt loaf rating. Also, if you'd like to follow us on social media, we are at Pilot TV Pod, as well as at Kay Rivero, at Boyd Hilton, and at James C. Dyer. Please do come and see us on the 19th of August. kingsplace.co.uk/pilot250. Book your tickets now. I do not know how many malt loaves you could buy for the price of a ticket, but it's not that many of them. On next week's show, so we're going to have a thing now. Next week sees the return of The Witcher.
Of course.
The return of Jack Ryan.
Of course. Oh, no. It's like a James special.
It's going to be amazing. Hijack's on.
Hijack, yes.
We're excited about Hijack.
That's an agreed one.
Yeah, yeah. So next week then, Hijack, The Witcher and Jack Ryan. Right, done. Brilliant.
No.
We have sorted out next week.
I hope you checked those embargo dates. I mean, I know that we're okay for Hijack because I checked, but I don't know about The Witcher.
Well, we'll see. Oh, God, that would be very upsetting, wouldn't it? If we couldn't make Kay watch The Witcher.
Do you know what? Yeah. I'm already getting a crying headache just thinking that we wouldn't be able to watch it.
Yeah,
it's crying headache time.
I bet you are. All right, lots of exciting stuff on there as well. And we've got a couple of guests planned for next week as well, but I am not going to say who they are because interviews haven't happened yet and I don't want to jinx it. But I'm sure it'll go fine. It'll be fabulous.
It'll be great.
Okay, good. Brilliant. Kay's off to watch Secret Invasion, aren't you, Kay?
On the plane, if you download
it. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Scrolls on a plane. That's what it's going to be.
Very good.
Brilliant.
Average.
Anyway, we're off. Pull it out.